This morning, we are continuing our series of spending Lent in God. It's a series that we started at the beginning of the Lent period. Now, Narnia is a story, the Chronicles of Narnia is a story written by C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis ends up this world of Narnia. Now, C.S. Lewis is a great theologian, a great Christian, great philosopher, and then a writer as well. But C.S. Lewis wasn't always a Christian. He was quite a worldly man before, and then his great friend J.R.R. Tolkien, that wrote The Lord of the Rings, told him about Jesus and discipled him and led him to the Lord in this way. So as he became a Christian, C.S. Lewis wrote the Chronicles of Narnia series. And he said that he hoped that the book would soften up the religious reflexes that people would have to the gospel, and that it would make it easier for children to accept Christianity when they get exposed to that later on. And through his books, he tried to communicate important truths of the Christian faith by translating them into the imaginary landscape of Narnia. So, Lewis is talking about all the imagery in Narnia as supposes. And he says, suppose there really was a world like Narnia, and Jesus would choose to be incarnate, to be born into that world, what might it look like? Suppose he could look like the lion as well. So in this way, he tried to make people more receptive to the gospel through the story. So we are spending 6 Sundays of Lent and then Easter on a journey through Narnia and using the imagery of Narnia as starting points, as cues to start off our message every day. But all in all, our aim is not to understand the Chronicles of Narnia there, but instead our aim is to understand the God of Narnia, the Christ. So, Larry started it off on the first weekend of Lent with the frozen landscape. And in the beginning of the book or the movie, the parents of children, first Lucy and later all four of them, stumbled into this imaginary world of Narnia. And for them it was a winter wonderland. They were in awe of what they saw, all the fluffy snow, and they were throwing snowballs and running down the hills, and everything was just beautiful for them. This winter wonderland. And that is the way a lot of people look at our world. They think everything is just hunky dory, everything is good and beautiful. And people are in a constant pursuit of pleasure, in a pursuit of sensual self indulgence. But the thing, in the second week, we got to do part two of the first landscape. The thing about this winter wonderland of Narnia was that everything wasn't all fun and games. In the Chronicles of Narnia, the winter landscape that looked so wonderful and inviting at first wasn't that wonderful anymore when they found out that winter lasted forever with God. And that came with consequences. It was always winter Narnia. So they figured out that something was not right. So this winter wonderland just became a winter land. Something was not right in that world, just as something is not right in our world. So even though we are in constant pursuit of pleasure, in the constant pursuit of self-indulgence, it doesn't really seem as if it is good. Something is not right. So people are left with a sense of restlessness. And Augustine said it perfectly, because you have made us for yourself, O Lord, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. And this is the nagging problem. We were created with this yearning for God, with this need for God, and we try to fill it with all the wrong things in all the wrong ways. So then in part 3, the third Sunday, we got to God's solution to the problem. For that restlessness inside of us to go away, that initial problem, that something that is wrong, needed to be fixed. And the problem was being separated from God. The problem that made us feel this restlessness in the first place. You see, even though Narnia was in a state of permanent winter, even though the creatures of Narnia were desolate, all was not lost. This is not the end. This is not the last word. And this is also true for us in our world, where things aren't right either. There is a plan. All is not lost. After the initial plan, after plan A, God didn't give up. Now you might ask, what do you mean plan A? Plan A was human beings created to honor God in all they do, to worship Him with all their being, to love Him and obey Him. This was plan A. This was the plan of creation. And after creation, God looked at it all and He said, it is good. I like what I see. Actually, I love what I see. I love being in relationship with my people. And it is such a clear relationship. There's nothing straining our relationship. It is open. It is honest. It has freedom. Freedom of choice. They don't have to love me, but they do. And after a while, we actually don't know how. After how long a while, the choice that was made was a different one. A choice to doubt God. A choice to disobey God. To not trust God's intentions. God said, but I will not give up on you. I will make a new plan. A plan that will cost me way more than what I initially planned on. This new plan would come at the cost of the life of God's only Son, Jesus Christ. So God has a solution to the problem. To the problem of our messed up world. The problem of that hole in our hearts. That feeling inside of restlessness. That we have been born with. So God said, I have done everything that needed to be done for us to go back to the way things were before. I have done everything that was needed to restore our relationship. I just want you to be mine again, to love me with all your heart as I have created you. Give me a chance. See if I will fill that void inside of you. See if I will fill that gaping hole in your heart. Just give me a chance. So that's a recap of how far we've come in this series. So today we get to the fourth experience. The world experience. We get into what the world could look like if this new plan of God, the solution to the problem, if this new plan is starting to. So let us have a look at our video clip from the Chronicles of Narnia, and then we will take our cue from there. We'll just make sure we've got sound on the video, which is the way we start in there, and then we will take our cue from there. Make sure we've got sound on the video. Thank you. once again, the Bevis' children are in awe of the beautiful landscape that they find themselves in. And this time, it is as it was meant to be. So that was our introduction from the movie. So let's go straight into our scripture reading this morning and have a look at Jesus' direction of what it would look like when the world is gone. And we're going to take our scripture reading from Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. So he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So Jesus is teaching all these people that were following him, who were looking to see him perform maybe a miracle, to hear one of those stories that he so loved to tell. And he sits them down on a mountainside and starts teaching them what it would look like when the new plan begins to unfold. As people become more and more like him, as people begin following him, putting their trust in him, even begin to trust him with their very own lives, at that time, there would be more and more people who would become pure of heart. More and more people who will experience God. More and more people that will be merciful to others. More and more that will be comforted. And as people become more and more like him, as people begin following him, more and more people would become peacemakers, and more people would be called children of God. More and more people would put their trust and their faith in Jesus. It's a beautiful idea. Definitely beautiful. And it is something worth striving for. This is the plan. And the world will start flowing if this plan becomes reality. It's a beautiful idea that Jesus was teaching them there on the mountainside. But Jesus wasn't finished in his teaching them. He had more to say. And not at some later stage. He continues on right away in the very next verse. Same people, same mountainside, same day. Let's pick it up at verse 30. We have read up to verse 12 this far. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on foot." Verse 40. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We just love this metaphor that Jesus used to describe his followers. And he tells his children, "You are salt and light." And that is pretty much a whole sermon on its own, being salt and being light. The part about salt bringing flavor to food and how light makes things visible around it. But Jesus is also cautioning them while speaking about false light. He says, watch out. Watch out. Don't hide your light. Don't waste your saltiness. Jesus says, it isn't really worth anything being the light of the world if you're going to hide it. It isn't worth anything if you are salt and don't plan on being flavor to this world. Watch out. Of all the things I've taught you, Jesus says to you, like becoming more and more like me and following me and putting your trust in me and being called children of God and being blessed for being pure of heart, of all of this, isn't much worse if you're going to hide it. The world is falling. My plan for bringing salvation and peace to this world is unfolding. And you are part of it. And it wouldn't be worth much if you're going to hide it. We need to share people around us that the world is falling, in the language of God, that God has a plan for us, a solution to the problem in this world, the problem of feeling restless without God, the problem of feeling scared without God, the problem of hopelessness without God. And when the world is falling, when people warm up to Jesus and his message of salvation for anyone who would trust him, who would believe him, in him, then this world becomes beautiful. Then this world becomes more and more like paradise, like Eden, but also more and more like it. The more the world is falling, the more people warm up to Jesus, the more we get these glimpses of it on earth. And as more people become peacemakers, as more people become pure of heart, as more people start loving their neighbor as much as they do themselves, as more and more people experience God's comfort, and as more and more people experience being part of the blessed of those who crowd, as more and more people become part of this crowd, the world becomes beautiful. The world. Now, when we started planning for our Lent sermon series, we didn't know that COVID-19 was on its way the way it is. I mean, how could we? The situation changes daily. So the theme of this message was going to be the theme for today in any way, the fourth Sunday of Lent, even if the pandemic didn't reach us. I think we did for the time we live in. In a time where people are wearing the hopelessness on their sleeves, when they are wearing the fear on their sleeves, the need for God hasn't increased. The need for God was always there. That restlessness was always there. The thing that did increase in this time is that people are just less hesitant. Less hesitant to admit that they don't have hope at all. The very reason that we cannot back down from being salt and light in this world. It's because of a time when we needed to share with people around us the hope that we have in Christ in this world. People find this hope again when they find someone to cling to in times of fear. Someone that is bigger than the current pandemic. It's saying that the world is starting to fall. That the world is starting to look more and more like God's people. So play your part in bringing hope and joy to our world this week. We are journeying together.